Chapter 25. The walls of his new house were carried up nearly to their full height. By a curious, though not infrequent reaction, Barnett's feelings about that unnecessary structure had undergone a change. He took considerable interest in its progress as a long-neglected thing, his wife before her departure having grown quite weary of it as a hobby. Moreover, it was an excellent distraction for a man in the unhappy position of having to live in a provincial town with nothing to do. He was probably the first of his line who had ever passed a day without toil, and perhaps something like an inherited instinct disqualifies such men for a life of pleasant inaction, such as lies in the power of those whose leisure is not a personal accident, but a vast historical accretion which has become part of their natures. Thus Barnett got into a way of spending many of his leisure hours on the site of the new building, and he might have been seen on most days at this time trying the temper of the mortar, by punching the joints with his stick, looking at the grain of a floorboard, and meditating where it grew, or picturing under what circumstances the last fire would be kindled in the at present sootless chimneys. One day when thus occupied he saw three children pass by in the company of a fair young woman, whose sudden appearance caused him to flush perceptibly. "Ah, she is there," apostrophe he thought. "That's a blessed thing." Apostrophe, casting an interested glance over the rising building, and the busy workmen, Lucy Saville and the little Downs passed by, and after that time it became a regular, though almost unconscious custom of Barnett, to stand in the half-completed house and look from the ungarnished windows at the governess as she tripped towards the seashore with her young charges, which she was in the habit of doing on most fine afternoons. It was on one of these occasions, when he had been loitering on the first floor landing, near the hole left for the staircase, not yet erected, that there appeared above the edge of the floor a little hat, followed by a little head. Barnett withdrew through a doorway, and the child came to the top of the ladder, stepping onto the floor and crying to her sisters and Miss Saville to follow. Another head rose above the floor, and another, and then Lucy herself came into view. The troop ran hither and thither through the empty, shaving-strewn rooms, and Barnett came forward. Lucy uttered a small exclamation. She was very sorry that S.E. had intruded. S.E. had not the least idea that Mr. Barnett was there. The children had come up, and S.E. had followed. Barnett replied that he was only too glad to see them there. "And now, let me show you the rooms," apostrophe he said. She passively assented, and he took her round. There was not much to show in such a bare skeleton of a house, but he made the most of it, and explained the different ornamental fittings that were soon to be fixed here and there. Lucy made but few remarks in reply, though she seemed pleased with her visit, and stole away down the ladder, followed by her companions. After this the new residence became yet more of a hobby for Barnett. Down's children did not forget their first visit, and when the windows were glazed, and the handsome staircase spread its broad low steps into the hall, they came again, prancing in unwearied succession through every room from ground floor to attics, while Lucy stood waiting for them at the door. Barnett, who rarely missed a day in coming to inspect progress, stepped out from the drawing room. "I could not keep them out," apostrophe she said, with an apologetic blush. "I tried to do so very much. But they are rather willful, and we are directed to walk this way for the sea air. ... Do let them make the house their regular playground, and do yours," apostrophe said Barnett. "There is no better place for children to romp and take their exercise in than an empty house, particularly in muddy or damp weather such as we shall get a good deal of now. And this place will not be furnished for a long, long time, perhaps never. I am not at all decided about it. ... Oh, but it must. ... replied Lucy, looking round at the hall. "The rooms are excellent, twice as high as ours, and the views from the windows are so lovely. ... I dare say, he said absently. Will all the furniture be new? ... she asked. All the furniture be new, that's a thing I have not thought of. In fact, I only come here and look on. My father's house would have been large enough for me, but another person had a voice in the matter, and it was settled that we should build. However, the place grows upon me. Its recent associations are cheerful, and I am getting to like it fast. ... A certain uneasiness in Lucy's manner showed that the conversation was taking too personal a turn for her. Still, as modern tastes develop, people require more room to gratify them in, ... she said, withdrawing to call the children, and serenely bidding them good afternoon she went on her way. Barnett's life at this period was singularly lonely, and yet he was happier than he could have expected. His wife's estrangement and absence, which promised to be permanent, left him free as a boy in his movements, and the solitary walks that he took gave him ample opportunity for chastened reflection on what might have been his lot if he had only shown wisdom enough to claim Lucy Saville when there was no bar between their lives, and she was to be at for the asking. He would occasionally call at the house of his friend Down, but there was scarcely enough in common between their two natures to make them more than friends of that excellent sort whose personal knowledge of each other's history and character is always in excess of intimacy, whereby they are not so likely to be severed by a clash of sentiment as in cases where intimacy springs up in excess of knowledge. Lucy was never visible at these times, being either engaged in the schoolroom or in taking an airing out of doors. But, knowing that she was now comfortable, and had given up the, to him, depressing idea of going off to the other side of the globe, he was quite content. The new house had so far progressed that the gardeners were beginning to grass down the front. During an afternoon which he was passing in marking the curve for the carriage drive, he beheld her coming in boldly towards him from the road. Hitherto Barnett had only caught her on the premises by stealth, and this advance seemed to show that at last her reserve had broken down. A smile gained strength upon her face as she approached, and it was quite radiant when she came up, and said, without a trace of embarrassment, "I find I owe you 100 thanks, and it comes to me quite as a surprise. It was through your kindness that I was engaged by Mr. Down. Believe me, Mr. Barnett, I did not know it until yesterday, or I should have thanked you long and long ago. ... I had offended you just a trifle at the time, I think. ... said Barnett, smiling, and it was best that you should not know. ... ... she returned hastily. Don't allude to that. It is past and over, and we will let it be. The house is finished almost, is it not? How beautiful it will look when the evergreens are grown. Do you call the style Palladian, Mr. Barnett? ... I really don't quite know what it is. Yes, it must be Palladian, certainly. But I'll ask Jones, the architect. For, to tell the truth, I had not thought much about the style. I had nothing to do with choosing it, I am sorry to say. ... She would not let him harp on this gloomy refrain, and talked on bright matters till she said, producing a small roll of paper which he had noticed in her hand all the while, ... Mr. Down wished me to bring you this revised drawing of the late Mrs. Down's tomb, which the architect has just sent him. He would like you to look it over. ... The children came up with their hoops, and she went off with them down the harbor road as usual. Barnett had been glad to get those words of thanks. He had been thinking for many months that he would like her to know of his share in finding her a home such as it was, and what he could not do for himself, Down had now kindly done for him. He returned to his desolate house with a lighter tread, though in reason he hardly knew why his tread should be light. On examining the drawing, Barnett found that, instead of the vast altar tomb and canopy Down had determined on at their last meeting, it was to be a more modest memorial even than had been suggested by the architect, A coke tomb of good solid construction, with no useless elaboration at all. Barnett was truly glad to see that Down had come to reason of his own accord, and he returned the drawing with a note of approval. He followed up the housework as before, and as he walked up and down the rooms, occasionally gazing from the windows over the bulging green hills and the quiet harbor that lay between them, he murmured words and fragments of words, which, if listened to, would have revealed all the secrets of his existence. Whatever his reason in going there, Lucy did not call again. The walk to the shore seemed to be abandoned. He must have thought it as well for both, that it should be so, for he did not go anywhere out of his accustomed ways, to endeavor to discover her. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.